the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mother of divine grace, pray for us. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are now on day 4 of our mission, and just in a little summary fashion of what we've done the 4 last things, preparation, to put us in the mood, because if we always consider our final end, the scriptures tell us we'll never sin. And the first night we spoke about sanctifying grace, the glories of divine grace. And we found out that with sanctifying grace, we get the 7 gifts, the 7 virtues, the 7 blessings, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. We're also made children of God and heirs of heaven. We participate in God's divine nature. God comes and dwells with us. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit. These are all wonderful blessings. We also found out that we're also spouses of God. In heaven, we will be his spouses. It begins here on earth. Sanctifying grace, which we received at baptism, made us spouses of Christ and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's something many people don't fully understand. Marriage is made for this world, but in heaven, we will be like the angels. We will be with God. As the prophet Jeremiah tells us, he has loved us with an everlasting love. And tonight, we're going to talk about specifically the gifts, the virtues, the beatitudes, the fruits, and also we'll tie it in with the capital sins, how these particular gifts and virtues help us overcome the capital sins. This is how God operates. We also found out a very startling thing the other day. Maybe some of us didn't realize it. I know I didn't realize it fully until I reread it again, that grace is infinite. Sanctifying grace is infinite because it's from God. It's God. God is love and God is infinite. So therefore, the soul which receives sanctifying grace is receiving a great gift, and the amount of grace that they can get is superabundant, limitless, infinite. We won't get that, of course, because we're human beings. We'll fall by the wayside somewhere along the way, but if we're faithful, unlimited. Our Lady was full of grace, so much grace. St. Ignatius says that she could have doubled her grace each day. Possibly, we don't know. We also found out from Matthias Schaben in that wonderful book, The Glories of Divine Grace, that we shouldn't let a moment go by in which we can practice some love of God by practicing virtue, obeying the commandments, saying prayers, going to the sacraments, going to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We haven't spent a lot of time on that during these conferences, but all graces flow from the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. This is where the streams of living water come from, the water and blood from the side of Christ. And every Mass, we can get a tremendous increase of grace depending upon our dispositions. And of course, when we receive Holy Communion, we found out that we become like God more and more. The more we eat physical food, the more the food becomes part of us. But the more we eat the body and blood of Christ, the more we become like him, the more spiritual. And of course, that all happens with the operation of the Holy Spirit. in the way I'm going to tell you tonight. You should also know we're going to go over each of the gifts and virtues and so on, but it's helpful for us to understand it. But let's face it, the Holy Spirit is infinite, and he gives us these graces and gifts. He doesn't pigeonhole them like we're doing, A, B, C. All right? There is overlapping, but it helps us to understand how awesome grace is, so that when we receive grace, we're receiving an incredible, great gift. That's why we also told you that when you fail with mortal sin, it is catastrophic what happens to the soul. We don't feel any different, but what happens with a soul in mortal sin, they lose the gifts, the sanctifying grace with all the gifts, virtues, and so on, and they are no longer in God's friendship. They're no longer his children. They are dead. They cannot merit anything. And if they were to die, they would go to eternal punishment. They belong to Satan. We belong to Satan if we commit mortal sin. And that's why I told you, Blessed Blanche said to King Louis, I would rather have you dead in my arms, my son, than you commit one mortal sin. One mortal sin is the worst evil in the world. It's the only evil, because it robs us of God's love. We choose ourselves more than God. So we don't always understand these things. But tonight, when we take a look at the gifts, the virtues, and so on, and you see how they operate, you begin to see why God's grace is so awesome, so unlimited, so infinite, because it's God. He shares his life with us. And with sanctifying grace, we get all these virtues and gifts infused into us, the infused virtues, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the blessings. And the first gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift, the fear of the Lord. It's not a servile fear. It's not a fear where we are afraid of God. No, that's not the fear of the Lord that we're talking about. We're talking about a filial fear, a fear that a child has for his father and mother whom he loves. He loves them. Or a spouse who doesn't want to hurt her spouse or his spouse because they love. That's fear of the Lord. Fear because you are afraid of hurting them because you love them. So we have a fear of offending God out of love. It's a filial love, the love of a son and daughter for their beloved father. We have a hatred of sin with fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit inspires us with this gift to understand that sin is the only evil in the world. He enlightens the soul to see that sin is the root of all our moral evils. And the virtue that corresponds to this gift, that aids this gift, that is aided by this gift. And by the way, I should have mentioned, remember, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are from the Holy Spirit, of course. They're gifts. He gives them to us freely with sanctifying grace. And they are the helps that we need. It's like you have a sailboat, and you're out on the water, and you have no wind, and you're going no place. With the gifts of the Holy Spirit is like the wind into your sails, and he projects you fast and furious, depending upon the amount of sanctifying grace you have. So they're all helps to help us. So the filial fear of God, fear of the Lord, helps the virtue of hope and temperance. The object of hope, the virtue of hope, is the possession of God in heaven. Temperance maintains this hope by mortifying our desires which cause sin. We realize that we must mortify ourselves, or else if we don't mortify ourselves and avoid occasions of sin and give up little pleasures, we will soon fall into sin because we're so weak. Only sin can keep us from God. Therefore, we fear our sinful desires. And that's why we practice the virtue of temperance, right? The blessing, the Beatitudes. Remember, each virtue, each gift has a corresponding beatitude, or one that especially explains this particular gift. There, as I've mentioned, there is overlapping. And different authors will give different virtues and different explanations, because as we've said, the Holy Spirit is infinite, and we can't generalize and say it's this, this, and this, because we know that grace is superabundant. It's a mystery. Who can explain it? But to help us understand it, we do show you that it corresponds to various beatitudes. As you know, when the Lord came, he gave this first sermon, was the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. And the beatitude that corresponds to the fear of the Lord is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. Poverty strips us of desires and affections for things which keep us from God and attract us to sin. The more we renounce ourselves, the more we will possess God. That's why we want to be poor in spirit. And to be poor in spirit, of course, we have to renounce ourselves. Again, that's the virtue of temperance, to control our desires. St. Francis is one of the best examples of this. The earmark of a Franciscan is poverty. St. Francis saw how riches in the world and comfort could destroy a soul. That's why he converted. For him, God was his all, my God and my all. So to be poor in spirit strips us of desires and affections which could keep us from God. And the corresponding capital sin that these particular virtues and blessings help to oppose is pride. Pride, where we want to do it our way. So we see filial fear, children of God, we love God, and we renounce pride. Pride is where we love ourselves. I want to be me. I got to do it my way, my body. Right? That's the song of the world, but that's not the song of the faithful follower of Jesus Christ. We have to renounce ourselves. Remember what Jesus says, unless you come follow me and carry your cross each day, you can't be my disciple. We have to renounce ourselves. Christianity is a religion of sacrifice. Jesus came to cast fire on the earth, and what would he be that he be kindled? Fire. So we have to renounce ourselves. You can't serve two masters. We cannot serve both God and man. God has got to be everything for us. And the gift of the fear of the Lord helps us to see how sin is the only thing that can keep us from God. Therefore, we will renounce everything that could keep us from God. And that's why poverty is so important. That's why temperance is so important. And that's why we have to destroy pride in us. The second gift of the Holy Spirit that we want to consider is the gift of fortitude. The gift of fortitude strengthens the soul to be courageous and fight the evil in themselves. As you know, we all have concupiscence. Concupiscence. With original sin, the body becomes stronger than the spirit. And only with God's grace can the spirit, the soul, overcome the body. So fortitude helps us and strengthens us, makes us courageous. And the gift of fortitude helps the virtue of fortitude. The Holy Spirit gives us this supernatural help with the gift of fortitude, which is beyond our natural ability. Beyond our natural ability. We're not strong enough. Remember, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. We can do nothing without God's grace. Without me, you can do nothing. And the beatitude that this corresponds to is, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Matthew 5:6. The Holy Spirit makes the soul so strong that its desire for perfection and holiness knows no limits. Knows no limits. It hungers and thirsts for justice. And that justice, of course, is the cause of God, God's righteousness. It hungers and thirsts for justice, that is, God's will and truth. And as you know, we do need fortitude nowadays, because our world is very corrupt. And as Catholics, we have to oppose the evil in the world. Ezekiel said, if you see evil and you don't tell the evildoer, you are responsible. But if you tell the evildoer that he's doing evil, then and he doesn't repent, then he's responsible. Nowadays, we have many people doing evil. We can't correct everybody, but we do have responsibility for those in our families, those our loved ones, all right, and any other supervisory position we might have, teachers, priests. I have a responsibility, all right? I got a hunger and thirst for justice. God's going to say to me, well, why didn't you tell the people they were doing wrong? Well, I was afraid somebody was going to say something and call me over the top or nasty. I can't be worried about those things. If nobody likes me, fine. We used to have an expression in America, if you're the boss and everybody likes you, you're doing something wrong. If you're the boss, you're going to have to step on toes. People aren't going to like you because you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, to do things right. People don't like to be told the truth. So we have to be like John the Baptist. It's not right for you to have your brother's wife, John told Herod. So it's got to tell the children. It's not right to you be living with a partner. That's not right. It's not right for you to contracept. It's not right for you to live in sin with a woman or a man to whom you're not married, or who's already married already. We have to tell people this, especially those in our own families, our own household, our own children. And this is why we need the gift of fortitude, hunger and thirst for justice. We need that. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Also remember what we learned. Those that instruct others unto justice shall shine like stars for all eternity. And the capital sin that this opposes, put on your thinking caps, what capital sin do you think that this might oppose? Fortitude, you're hungering and thirsting for justice. What's the opposite of hungering and thirsting for justice? Taking it easy. Relax, everything's all right. I'm okay, you're okay. I'm not hurting anybody. My friends, the world is falling apart. Many souls are going to hell, Our Lady said. Pray and sacrifice. Many souls are going to hell. We should be weeping and crying over that. So, what's the capital sin? Sloth. Many of us are slothful. Fortitude makes us hunger and thirst for justice. The gift of piety. The gift of piety enables us to have ardent desires to please God in all things and to devote ourselves to his service. That's what piety is all about, to please God, not our neighbor. and to devote ourselves to his service. We realize that we are sons and daughters of God and want to render him all that he deserves. We're his children. And because we are his children, we want to give him everything he deserves. As you can see, there's a little overlapping here with filial fear, but it's a little different. So we want to give God everything he deserves. And if we give God everything he deserves, we must also be good to our neighbor. Our neighbor is important because our neighbors are also children of God. They're our neighbors. God loves them. We can't say we love God and we don't love our neighbor. St. John told us that. Can't do that. Because our neighbors are children of God too. And God loves them. He loves us all infinitely. Our love of God makes us also want to treat everyone as God's sons and daughters. Treat everyone because they're also children of God. We love God. We want to give him all the devotion that we can, all the service, and we must do the same for others. The virtue piety helps is justice. As we want to give everyone what they ought do because they are children of God, whom we love above all things. So we want to be just to our neighbor. That's how we give our neighbor our due. Even more, we want to be kind and merciful to him too, going over beyond justice, but especially justice. The beatitude is, blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. That's not so easily seen right away. Blessed are the meek. The gift of piety helps the blessing of meekness. How does that happen? Well, fortitude makes us strong. Meek piety makes us meek and gentle. That's important. And by the way, gentleness, of course, is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I should mention here, we're not going to give always the corresponding fruit because there's so much overlapping. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, of course, are in all the virtues, are in all the gifts, right? They're fruits. From charity, we know we have all the fruits. Charity is patient. Charity is kind. Charity endures all and everything, as St. Paul tells us. So with so many of these gifts and the corresponding virtues and blessings, there's also the fruits of the Holy Spirit, as we see here. This beatitude helps us to be meek, which is also a fruit of the Holy Spirit, meekness. With the virtue of meekness, the soul will possess the land of his own heart and others. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. There is probably nothing more important in this life than to be meek. Meekness is so important. It's not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength. Anybody, when they're hurt, can scream and yell and kick and rant and throw things. That's weakness. But the meek person controls his temper. He never gets angry. All the saints had meekness, especially the great St. Francis de Sales. He was the meekest of people because this is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Piety helps us to be meek, to possess the land of our own soul, right? Not the land of the earth. We want to control ourselves first. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. So this is so important, the land of their own heart. And this particular virtue, what virtue do you think it corresponds, could correspond to? Meekness. You're not going to get angry. All right? You want to give everybody their due. You're not going to be jealous, envious. If you are willing to give everybody their due and be just, You're not going to be jealous of the next person because he deserves that. In fact, you glorify God by praising that person because God is working through him. Let that person get all the praise. Let him be the best teacher, the best preacher, the best doctor, the best this, the best that. God gives his gifts, so praise God. Don't be envious of them, because then if you're envious of them, you're in a way cheating God of the glory he should get. We have to not be envious. So meekness helps us to be patient and kind and meek. And when we see other people getting advantages that we don't get, we're not jealous. We're happy for them. And we control ourselves. We're meek. So these are most important things for all of us to be aware of. Shaban tells us by which piety, by which we guilelessly render and wish everyone won his due. This dispels envy and malice. We want everyone to be good and happy. We even want everybody to advance more than we advance, because we know we're sinners. I always loved the story of St. Teresa. St. Teresa talked about people and sin, and she said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, suffered and died for our sins, and he didn't deserve it. We are sinners. We deserve what we get for our sins. We deserve it. We're sinners. And if people really knew what we did and really knew all about us, they would persecute us more. So when we're persecuted, we should be meek. We deserve it. We deserve it. That's the eighth beatitude, by the way. There are eight beatitudes, but the eighth one, blessed are they who are persecuted for justice' sake. For my sake, Jesus says, blessed are you when men persecute you and call you all kinds of hurtful names. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great. That's the virtue of meekness. We need meekness. So when we're persecuted, we don't get angry. We say we deserve it for our sins. I deserve this for my sins. The saints thought they were the worst of sinners. We heard in the story today, we have a wonderful tape on St. Francis, the life. St. Francis was an amazing saint. Amazing. One day, he had a little chicken. He wasn't a glutton, of course, but he was very, very penitential. He hardly ate anything, even drinking water. But one day he took chicken, and he felt such remorse that he told the brother to march him through the city of Assisi with a rope around his neck and say, here is Francis of Assisi, who is a glutton. He had chicken today. He pretends to be a man of great penance, but he's eaten like a glutton. He has chicken. And walk up and down Assisi like that. The people were astounded. And they converted because of it, because they saw what he was doing, and they realized that how sinful they were, how gluttonous, how lustful, and everything else. It all goes back to meekness. St. Francis had that meekness. He knew he was a sinner. So when people persecuted him, he accepted it. The gift of counsel. We discern what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. He leads us along the way of charity, peace, sacrifice, and fulfillment of God's will. That's the gift of counsel. The Lord told us that the Holy Spirit will instruct us and teach us all things. So the Holy Spirit instructs us on what to do. St. Thomas Aquinas says, every good piece of advice regarding men's salvation comes from the Holy Spirit. Every good piece of advice. I might add, tell you what St. Augustine said. You cannot get a thought in your head without God permitting it, or willing it. So all of our thoughts are given to us or allowed to us by God. God gives us good thoughts, as we just saw with Thomas Aquinas. All good thoughts come from God, and we need to listen to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. But we also get bad thoughts. Do they come from God? Not really. They come from the world, the flesh, and the devil, but God allows them to come to us. He'll never tempt us above our means, but he allows bad thoughts so that we can see how weak we are, we can pray more, and we can show our valor in battle. What kind of a soldier of Christ are we if we never get tempted? Sometimes we have to get tempted, and that's why things go wrong. We can't be always saying, why are these things all happening to me? God allows them all to get us ready for whatever he's going to do. Everything in your life is a preparation for your holiness and your entrance into heaven. Remember, we're talking about without spot or wrinkle. That's how the Lord is going to present us to the Father, without spot or wrinkle. We have to be perfect to get to heaven. And if we don't learn in this life, we got to learn in purgatory. It's a lot easier now, and God will help us. All right? Sometimes he has to give us the old sledgehammer approach, banging us head, boom, boom. Sometimes he's gentle. That's why some people got to be knocked flat on their back. And by the way, you can pray for that. One preacher in America prayed for some person who was really hard-hearted that he would be knocked flat on his back, and he was. And he repented when he was on his back and he realized how weak he was and what he did. Wonderful conversion story. The virtue counsel helps is the virtue of prudence, which helps us to know and do God's will. Prudence, that's spiritual prudence, not worldly prudence, how to make an extra more money and cheat somebody. But this is how to save our soul and do good. The blessing, the beatitude is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And the most important thing the Holy Spirit teaches us is mercy, because God is mercy. The effect of the gift of the gift of counsel is mercy. The Holy Spirit teaches us to be merciful like God. Be merciful because your Father is merciful. And this particular gift of counsel overcomes the capital sin of covetousness, excessive desires. We want what we want when we want it. The gift of counsel heals us of covetousness, greed, and so on, teaching us true prudence by which we know how to treasure things that are truly good and despise all things, by esteeming things only insofar as they aid us in gaining eternal life. We use them rightly, and thus not only are they not lost, but they bring forth fruit 100-fold. So the gift of counsel tells us what are the most important things in life. Is it to make a lot of money? To be the richest man in the world? No. That's what the world wants, covetousness. This is also, of course, related to poverty, but it's a little different. Greed. One of the great sins of our time is everybody wants to be rich. Rich. If you put affluent and influenza together, you get a new word, and it could easily tell the sin of our times. Everybody has the sin of affluenza. They want to be affluent, rich, and they'll do anything to get it, cheat and steal and everything. And that's what the Lord was saying, how the children of darkness are sometimes wiser than the children of light. They work harder at making money than we do at getting a treasure for heaven. Remember what the Lord told us. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but that which lasts for life everlasting. Shaban told us, never let a moment go by that we can't practice some virtue or say some prayer or do something good for eternal life. We should be like the miser who gathers gold, wants to make money. We should be the same way with doing things for the Lord. We can't do enough. So the gift of counsel overcomes the capital sin of covetousness, which is running wild in our world today. Everybody wants to be rich, and so on. The fifth gift of the Holy Spirit, knowledge. The previous four gifts, fear of the Lord, fortitude, piety, and counsel, regulate our moral life, the moral virtues, right? Also called the cardinal virtues. The gift of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom regulate our life with God. In our ascent to God, creatures are our greatest obstacle. The gift of knowledge helps us to see the nothingness of creatures and this world. We also see God's plan in everything. Blessed Saint Jose Maria Escrivá tells us, something divine in all situations. There is something divine in everything, and we have to discover it. That's the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge helps us to see God's plan in everything, divine providence. People wonder why bad things happen to them. Why did I fail that test? Or why did I not become a doctor? Well, maybe God wanted you to do something else. Maybe if you were a doctor, you may have lost your soul. Who knows? Some people want to be big stars, big football players. Maybe if you were a football player, you would have lost your soul. So God didn't give you that ability. All right, so we have to see something divine in everything. With the gift of knowledge, we see God's plan and his divine providence and how God is everything, my God and my all. God is everything. Nothing else is important. Creatures are nothing. And sometimes they're an obstacle for us. So we have to see that God is everything. The virtue that it helps, the infused virtue of hope, the gift of knowledge shows us the vanity of creatures and how they are all full of defects. Only God can be our happiness. The gift of knowledge helps us to see that the present sorrows are light compared to the future hope of heaven. See, we're not worried about giving up things of the earth because we have a great hope. Our treasure is in heaven, where neither rust nor moth consume. So many people have so much money, and sadly, what happens when they die? They can't take it with you. They can't take it with them. But we can take our treasure of sanctifying grace with us to heaven. It's the only thing we can take to heaven. That's why we should labor for sanctifying grace and all these gifts and virtues. This is the only thing that lasts. The Beatitude, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, how does that relate to the gift of knowledge? Why are you mourning? Why are you sad? Think about it. With the gift of knowledge, we see the nothingness of creatures, and we weep for the time in which we have sought them. Tears of sorrow, of repentant love, those wasted years that we could have done something. That's why we mourn. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We all should be mourning and crying over our sins, the times we've wasted. Hopefully, God will always bring good out of the things we've done wrong. He's so good. He's so patient. And some of the greatest saints had great conversions. St. Francis always wasn't the great saint he was. He was a young man interested in fun and parties and singing and so on, popularity, having a good old time. But then at 25, he was woken up, awakened. Blessed are they who mourn. St. Francis mourned for his sins, and he is comforted. Late have I loved thee, St. Augustine said. Late have I loved thee, O beauty, ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved thee. Late have I loved thee. St. Augustine, a great, great saint. And the virtue that it helps, or the capital sin that it overcomes, is anger. How does the gift of knowledge aid us to overcome knowledge, to overcome anger? The gift of knowledge that gives to our spirit clarity, discretion, understanding, and so on, preserves us from the dangerous madness that anger produces in us. Why should we get angry? Is it so important? Right. What does it all mean in the light of eternity? All right, so somebody stole some money from you. Is it worth getting angry and going after him and beating him up or hitting him or killing him like some people? What does it mean? It's only money. We get so upset at so many things. The gift of knowledge helps us not to get angry. Of course, this is also related to meekness, where we don't get angry. We're at peace. So there's all kinds of overlappings with these gifts, because as I've said, the Holy Spirit is infinite. And we get this almost like a cornucopia of wonderful gifts and virtues and fruits and blessings. And by the way, it's not all inclusive. There are many gifts, many, many virtues that aren't even included. No, we don't know mention of humility also, but it's related to these virtues. Humility, loyalty, patriotism, respect, right? So there's many other virtues that are not included. The sixth gift, understanding. By this gift, we come to a deeper knowledge of our faith. With the Holy Spirit, we penetrate God's mysteries, and we know the things of God. The things of God. We know the supernatural mysteries of our faith. We begin to understand the Eucharist, the redemption, the sacraments. The virtue that it helps is faith. Our faith is made stronger because we understand the mysteries of God by our loving knowledge of Him. Remember, every mystery of our faith gives us loving knowledge of God. St. Teresa of Avila would say, the Eucharist, we see how much God loves us. Our faith is strengthened. With the gift of understanding, we understand what the Eucharist is all about, what the Mass is all about, what the four last things are all about, what salvation is all about. By means of the purity of our mind, the gift of understanding ensures the integrity of our faith, which penetrates God's mysteries. The Beatitude is, blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God, Matthew 5:8. When we love God with a pure heart, the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to understand God's mysteries. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. We will see God because we are not attached to any creatures in a disordered way. How about in our world today? How much disordered love is there? How will they see this God when they're living in a disordered relationship? As I told you, there's no such thing as a dysfunctional family. It's all because of sin. And that's why there's so much darkness. Remember what St. Paul says. And so they are without excuse, seeing they knew God. They didn't glorify him as God or give him thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless mind is darkened. When we don't love God and we don't thank God, our minds are darkened. And then we also learned last night how God will hand us over to the lustful desires of our heart. So, when we're not clean of heart, we won't see God. We'll be in tremendous darkness. That's why our world is in terrible trouble today, because of the sins of the flesh. The devil knows how he can trick us. He's lied to us. They think they're going to be happy with all their pleasures. They think they're going to be happy with sexual pleasures. It's just the opposite. They become slaves of sin, and they get filled with all kinds of terrible, terrible sins because they've sinned. A lot of people don't fully understand how the Catholic faith, when they tell us about mortal sin, how catastrophic it is because we lose the grace of God. It's a slippery slope. We can see evidence of it. As soon as people begin to live a life of sin, all kinds of evils come to them. That's why we have so much violence, so much anger, so much hatred, so much unhappiness in the world. But if they were clean of heart, they would see God. The gift of faith helps us to understand this. Right? That's why we need the gift of understanding, not the gift of faith, the virtue of faith. The virtue of faith is so important, aided by the gift of the Holy Spirit, understanding, where we will understand our faith more, our mysteries of our faith. And the capital sin that it opposes is gluttony. The gift of understanding, which gives us a taste for divine things, takes away our appetite for earthly things and protects us from gluttony by teaching us to prefer the sweetness of spiritual food, the knowledge of heavenly things, to all sense enjoyment. You could also add there, of course, lust helps us to overcome lust. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. So there's overlapping I was talking about. The seventh gift, the gift of wisdom. Through this gift, we gain a delightful knowledge of God and taste his love. We experience his love. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 33:9. Wisdom makes us aware of how God is such a loving God, and we enjoy him. We taste his goodness, as it were. The virtue that it aids, the infused virtue of charity. Although all the gifts are closely connected to and depend on charity, that's another name for sanctifying grace, the gift of wisdom is set in motion by charity and love. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us the cause of the gift of wisdom is found in the will, and it is charity. I want to love. See, to want to love is to love God. So that's one of the most important teachings you should get out of this. How important it is to love God. If we love God, we will keep his commandments, right? Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and my Father will love you, and we will come to you and abide with you. That's sanctifying grace. So love is the beginning. Many sins are forgiven her because she loves much. If we love God, we won't sin. And if we love God, we will get the gift of wisdom. And we'll love and experience the love of God. But we can't love creatures in the same way, of course. We can't prefer creatures to God. Right? So when we love God and sacrifice for him, then we'll be truly receiving the gift of wisdom, which helps us to see and taste God, the love of God. The beatitude that it aids is, the blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God, Matthew 5:9. A soul which tastes God because of the gift of wisdom judges all things by divine principles, says St. Thomas Aquinas. When we love God and we taste his goodness, then we judge everything by God's principles, by what God wants. By judging all things as God judges, this brings peace. Perfect order brings peace, which is the fruit of wisdom. There is no disorder in a man of peace. He brings peace to all. So if you have any disordered love, You'll never be at peace. Your conscience will bother you. I'll never forget the great lesson my mother taught me. So much of the spiritual life is taught by good mothers. She always told me, always have a good conscience. Go to bed with a good conscience. And if you go to bed and your conscience bothers you, you better do something about it. And that's what we're talking about here. When we love God, we want to do everything for Him. All right? That's divine wisdom. That's charity. That's the love of God. And then we will be at peace. That's why there's so much unhappiness in the world. There's so much disordered love. That's why we told you in heaven we're going to be so happy, because we won't be capable of disorder. We're going to be so confirmed in the love of God. We will be perfect in heaven. We can't be perfect on earth, but we can try. But we're not going to get to heaven unless we're perfect. Right? That's why not too many people are going to get right to heaven, because we got lots of spots and lots of wrinkles. That's what St. Paul's talking about, without spot or wrinkle. That's why Our Lady is so important and so wonderful. She who is without spot or wrinkle. She is what we all will be in the future. She was on earth, immaculate. We also will be immaculate in heaven. She is what we all hope to be. And nobody gets into heaven, my friends, unless they're immaculate, without spot or wrinkle, no sins, no disorders, no sins. So we need all these wonderful gifts. With this gift and the virtues, the more a soul loves God, the more it is capable of receiving this gift. So that's why we want to cultivate the love of God. The gift of wisdom overcomes the capital sin of lust. Wisdom raises us far above the earth and draws us very close to God, keeps us from impurity, lust, filling our heart with pure heavenly love, and thus choking all impure animal affection in the soul. Right? Again, this is also related to blessed are the clean of heart, they shall see God. Overlapping, but especially we can see this is true wisdom, where we don't want to have any disordered love. So we can see how wonderful, my friends, the gifts and the fruits and the virtues of the Holy Spirit are. They are so wonderful. I didn't mention all the fruits and so on, but we covered some of them. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in number 1832, are a foretaste of eternal glory. We have them here even on earth. Right? That's what sanctifying grace is all about. Sanctifying grace gives us the virtues, the blessings, the fruits, helps us to overcome the sins, and gives us the fruit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, we've covered several of them already, 12 in number: charity, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, modesty, continence, chastity. Those last three help us in our disordered love. So those are important. We saw that with the virtue of temperance. And we see how with charity is the mother and the root of all. And when you have charity and the root of all the acts, we have the fruit of charity, which is joy and ineffable peace, joy and peace, which we receive from the Holy Spirit. Those who love have peace and joy, those two especially. And all the others, we've seen them throughout, how we could see their blessings from the Holy Spirit, fruits of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow we'll see how Our Lady will make sure that we get all these fruits, because she's the mother of fair love, and she will give us all these fruits. She says, come and eat of my fruits. And these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which she will give to us. So we should treasure sanctifying grace, because with sanctifying grace, we get the gifts of the Holy Spirit, seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the seven virtues, the four moral virtues, prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude, the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. We get the Beatitudes, the blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they who suffer for justice's sake, and so on. These are wonderful things. And of course, the gifts, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace and joy, charity, goodness, kindness. So we all should realize, of course, the only thing that can take sanctifying grace away from us is mortal sin. And that's why, as I've said, mortal sin is the only evil in the world, because it robs us of all these wonderful gifts and virtues and fruits that the Holy Spirit wants to give us to make us happy. And that's why people who live in sin are not happy. St. Augustine said it a long time ago. He knew he was a sinner. He says our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. People of the world will never be happy until they keep the commandments, until they rest in God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. So let us take it upon ourselves now to do the best we can to keep the commandments and do all we can to help others to keep the commandments. Then we're doing what Our Lady says. Because at Fatima, she says, men must stop offending God. He's too much offended by sin. And when we pray the rosary, as she asked, we ask for the fruit or the virtue of every mystery. Every mystery, pray for a different fruit or virtue or gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace and joy, charity, wisdom, knowledge. Name them. We got 20 mysteries. And if you add up all those fruits and gifts and virtues, you see they're 33 in number. Plus there's, of course, many others. The Holy Spirit, His gift of grace is infinite. And we need to have this great gift in our lives. And then we'll be truly happy. And we'll share in God's life. And when we share in God's life with sanctifying grace, we share in His virtues, His charity, His love, His mercy, His kindness. And it's a foretaste of eternal life. We begin heaven on earth. And that's what we want to do. To be happy here so we can be happy for all eternity. But it begins only with keeping the commandments. Thank you for coming, and God bless you all. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He show His face to you and have mercy on you. May He turn His countenance towards you and give you peace. May the Lord bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.